Thanks for listening to the Adam and Dr. Drew Show on Podcast One.
Adam, we're going to get into your deep preoccupation with Y2K back in the day. Oh, wait a minute. You never brought it up. But in Jimmy's mind, it gets conflated. We'll talk about that and my special relationship with Stockton.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it. Dr. Drew supports the specialized.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Get it on, baby.
Get it on, man.
What's going on?
Oh, so much.
Yeah. What?
Like, I don't feel good today for some reason.
I don't either.
What is that?
Well, I'd been traveling and just kind of running around. I did a full bonsai run the other day of going to Oakland and driving to this thing.
Can you talk about it?
Yeah, I can. It was a funny, not funny haha, but
peculiar.
Funny peculiar in that Mike had booked this gig for me to go to this country club and speak in front of this group, and it's a corporate thing. I don't know if it's called a corporate thing, and they pay you, you know, not, I didn't get paid that much, but they pay you a little bit. And so the way Mike kind of worked it out is fly in, quick hit out kind of thing. Now, the thing about me and maybe a lot of people, you know, I'll come in, do a hit and run, and get out of there. If you want me to stay the night, it's a little different conversation.
Yeah, yeah.
It just is.
Especially if you can get there and out in a day. Yeah.
Yeah. If the thing's like, well, it's not till later and the flights are, there's no more flights, you know, they get into that, then it's like, all right, well, now we got to get a hotel.
Yeah.
And what it does is it affects the next day.
Completely.
Because now it's like, well, you get up.
Well, Sunday's a travel
flight
day.
Till 9 o'clock flight, and then you can get out. And then but what time do you land? And then you got to get from the airport. So this was, we sort of worked. And again, it wasn't a ton of dough. So it was sort of like, oh, let's just do a.
Did he go with you?
Yeah, Mike. Yeah. Mike always goes. He's still there.
What?
So
he spent the night?
He did.
Oh.
So it was just like, all right, get in and get out. And we landed. We hustled from the airport. It's an hour and a half drive, traffic, blah, blah, blah. And where did we end up? What city did we end up in?
Stockton.
Oh, in Stockton. So
we drove from Oakland.
We landed in Oakland. Mike picked up a rental car. We drove to Stockton. We got there half hour late, you know, whatever it was. And I was saying, you know, Mike was like, all right, we got an 8:30 flight out of here. So we got to, you know, get our hustle on. And I was saying to the middle-aged woman who was sort of running the thing, why don't you just put me on? Let me do my thing. Her thing was like, people are eating dinner. There's waiters out there. Her whole thing was like, there's waiters, you know. And my thing was like, I've got an 8:30 flight out of Oakland. So I need to kind of get on and do my 20 minutes now. And her thing was like, the waiters are out there. People are eating.
Sounds like shrubs.
And
the shrubs.
You're never going to make it.
It's so weird, the random things people glom onto. Waiters.
It was so funny because I was talking to Mike like in our green room. I was like, yeah, waiters. Whenever you do one of these things, people are pouring coffee and serving dessert and people are milling
it's
about.
Fine. How about at a comedy club? People are serving drinks the whole time.
Good point. So I just said, you know, the waiters are fine and let people eat, wait for a dessert. I was like, I got to catch a flight. And she was like, oh, you're never going to make that flight.
Ugh.
And I was like,
oh, yes, I
well,
am.
I think if I just go up now and we can hustle it to the airport, I think I can just make that flight. And she's like, you're not going to make that flight. And I was like, well, okay, maybe we will, but we're talking about it. Why don't I just go up and start doing my thing? And so she goes, oh, you're never going to make it. And so we killed about very precious minutes because it was an hour plus back to the airport. We weren't going to get out of there until 7 or a couple of minutes before 7, I literally would have just been dropped off in front of the airport and ran to Southwest, you know, and hoped there wasn't a security line.
Yeah.
So then she gets up and brings me up on stage.
What time is it actually now? Like 6:30 or 7?
The time
like
right now is 6:30, 6:35.
Wow.
I'm slated for 20 minutes. Yeah. And I'm like, look, if I'll do my 20, Michael, get the car. I'll be in it before 7. He'll drive like a mad person. I'll be at the airport at 8. The flight's at 8:30.
Yep.
I can do this.
Yep.
So she got on to bring me up. And she said, you know, he thinks he's going to catch a flight back in Oakland at 8:30. And I'm like, just please. It's this thing. Now, I think her thing was sort of like, hey, we're paying you money. What are you rushing us along for?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I get it. My thing was like, you paid me to do 20 minutes. I'll do the 20 minutes. I'll just do it now. It was a small gathering of people who were sitting at tables eating.
Yeah.
And the waiters were
serving.
Dropped the food off, and that was it. They were just sitting there at the table. And I was
a lot of noise, a lot of conversation.
No, it was a smallish room with 50 people in it sitting at tables, and I was just going to step up to the dais and talk into the mic for 20 minutes. And so eventually I just
grabbed the mic from her.
Pushed my way up on the stage. And then Mike drove like an insane person back to Oakland Airport. And Mike, God bless Mike. Mike's just like, look, I'm not going to make it. I can't drop the car off.
Oh, so he's just going to stay. Yeah.
Mike's just that dude. Yeah. Mike's just like, look, either one of us will make it or neither one of us will make it. But if we do it, if I just drop you off at front, you make it. And, you know, if something happens.
It's like a World War II movie.
Yeah, it really was. He dove on a grenade.
One of us going to make it out alive.
Yeah. So it was funny because he, you know, he said, look, if there's a delay or something, you know, call me. I'll go drop the car off and I'll hustle it over. But there was no such delay. So Mike.
How was the 20 minutes?
I think it was pretty good.
50 people is not an easy number.
No, and they're eating, and you know they're not my demo per se. But I told them a few jokes, and you know they got it. And I sort of looked down at my watch, and I was trying to figure it out because I didn't want to give them 15 minutes, but I didn't want to do 24 minutes either because we were literally we were going to leave at 7. Waze said it'd take 1 hour and 6 minutes to get to Oakland, and the flight was 8:30.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were going to shave 5 minutes off the drive, but it was still getting dropped off out front of the airport.
And with an unknown security line at Southwest.
Right, right. Yeah. So,
which could be horrible.
Could be. So I, thankfully it wasn't, and the flight was all on time, and I got my hustle on and busted out of there. But it was just funny. It's funny. I don't know. I haven't had too many of these conversations lately, but there was a part where the woman who was putting the thing on was just standing with me and Mike, and it was like 6:33. And Mike and I were going, well, just let him go up and do the 20 minutes. And she's like, well, people are eating. And we're going, right, but we got a flight. And she's going, you're not going to make the flight.
Ugh.
And we're like, but I could just go up now. Yeah, well, the waiters are out there. I haven't done that in a while where someone just got fixated on something.
Yeah, when people have their vision of how it's going to go, that's how it's going to go. Your version of it, you're the talent. You should be the one telling them whether it can be delivered or not. That begs no alternative.
Mm-hmm.
I have an interesting Stockton connection.
Hmm.
My mother's secret family that I didn't know anything about. The stepson is a retired dentist from Stockton.
Yeah, what about that secret family?
What about that?
And when we haven't look, I think it's one of these things where it's like, you know, someone's got some classified information from the Pentagon, but 50 years after they're dead, you're allowed to bring it up.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Right? So I don't know if we're there with you and your mom and your secret family.
Absolutely. You ready to go?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I'm interested.
All right. I've never done that before on this show.
I have gotten dribs and drabs of your mom.
Wow.
Some of her makeup psychologically.
Yeah, yeah.
some of your thoughts about it. Not all good, but you've been, well, you've been a gentleman.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
I'm not a gentleman when it comes to my parents. In my world, I guess, in my world, you're not allowed to manufacture stories about people. You have to be
honest.
You have to be honest about people. Yeah. And in stories, it's funny how sort of stories change and morph.
But you can tell the story in such a way where you're going, treated me horribly, but did the best she could. I understand she was not well, bum, bum, bum. You know what I mean? You can contextualize, minimize, or you can just state it. Treated me like shit, was severely emotionally abusive. Was not a good – you don't do that to kids. You can frame it either way.
Right. It's also just funny how stories go. Somebody texted me the other day. It's comical if you know me. Sorry. Somebody tweeted me the other day, and they were referring to Jimmy Kimmel, who was on Stern a couple weeks ago, and he was sort of talking about me being paranoid about Y2K. And blah, blah, blah. Now, Drew's making a face, right?
Yeah. Making a sound. Huh?
Yeah. Now, the thing is, I think during Y2K leading into the 2000, the turnover, the calendar, the
people
computers,
don't even know what this
like
is
that.
Anymore.
I know. People were paranoid that planes would fall out of the sky, that their bank accounts would be erased.
Computers had all been set up with essentially the date as some teen number followed by whatever the year was, 1985, and that the provision for a 20 had not been made on the computers, had not been timed up properly, and there was going to be a massive confluence of sort of implosion of all software programs because they wouldn't know the day.
Right. Oh, you got the clip? I've never even heard the clip.
Yeah.
How long is it?
242.
Oh, sorry. It says 242. Does it need to be that long, or can it just be 30 seconds of Y2K? Somebody tweeted me. Tweets are always funny to me. Like, hey, you got played by Y2K. Like, I heard Jimmy saying you're paranoid about Y2K. Now, I was with Jimmy, and we were, like, out of town or something, and I wanted to get home and work on something.
This was something you're talking about when New Year's Eve 2020 or 20,
yeah, and it was Y2K.
Yeah,
I wasn't paranoid about Y2K. I was just coming home on that whatever.
Yeah, let's dial the tape back another 3 minutes. That's why when you said Jimmy was saying that you were paranoid about Y2K, I can't even fathom a world where that's true about you.
Well, first off, as I answered the tweet. I didn't even know how to email back then. I wasn't savvy enough on a computer to email.
Right.
I literally didn't. In 2000 or 1999, I didn't do email.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about computers. MTV, and we neither of us, frankly.
I remember
I got my first email in like 1999.
I said something that is, here's all you need, right, to know. If you want to know the truth about anything.
Yeah.
I texted the person, tweeted them. I said, if I was paranoid about Y2K, I was on the radio every night.
Yeah.
Go play me the clip. Go find the clip.
Where we brought it
of
up.
Me wringing my hands just together and going, oh, Drew, I don't know if I'm coming in Friday.
I don't know if we brought it
up. I don't remember bringing it up here. I remember the world was bringing it up, and I was treating it like killer bees from Mexico. Yeah. I was just like, okay, right. Who cares? Like, yeah. I wasn't invested in the computer world at all. So I was like, I don't care if everything crashes.
I
work on cars.
Yeah, you wouldn't really, we really understood what was going, that was about.
Yeah, so they're talking about my COVID tweets here.
What?
What is going on inside his head?
Maybe he's burned because, do you remember a Y2K?
Yes.
So I was laughing, and everybody was panicking about Y2K when it was happening. I was like, oh, my God, now my computer, and we don't know what's going to – and it could turn, and there's going to be looting and all sorts of mayhem and all this craziness, and which just seemed preposterous. So We had a trip planned up to the mountains, to Mammoth. And Adam and his friend Donnie decided to stay home. They skipped the trip because they had wanted to stay and protect their homes from potential looters.
Wow.
And maybe he learned from that. And he's like, I'm never going to get hoodwinked again. I don't know what's going on.
So he doesn't believe anything.
All right. And it was true. Donnie was paranoid about
it. That sounds like Donnie. Right. That makes sense.
And I'm not saying Jimmy's covering for me
a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And he's not lying. It's this recollection of 20 years ago.
That's how memories
work. These guys stayed home.
Yeah, the memories kind of consolidate, right?
Yeah. So two people said we're staying home.
Yeah.
And basically, it's like saying
the title became Donnie's title for both of you.
It's like Donnie saying, I'm going to stay home and pick apples.
Yeah.
And I went, yeah, I'm staying home too.
Yeah.
And then 20 years, you go forward and you go, they stayed home and picked apples.
Yeah, yes, correct.
And
memory does that. That's how memory works.
I get it. So that's how stories work.
Yeah.
And then they just become
that. Is he somehow calling you a COVID denier? Is that what Stern's saying?
Stern wants to know why I have these crazy thoughts about COVID.
Like what?
Just telling everyone to get the fuck back to work and open the schools. And
why is that crazy?
It was crazy 2.5 weeks ago. It gets... Or 3 weeks ago.
This was actually from September 17th, just to give a straight time frame of when it was. But the clip opens with Stern basically asking Kimmel why Adam's making fun of people who are taking precautions.
I see.
Right.
I'm going to say the following with peace and love, peace and love. I love Robin. I love Howard. I can't listen to Howard right now. There's something – and he looks wrong to me too. There's something wrong with him emotionally right now.
Well, I think he's greatly affected by this.
I do too. I think it's like really like
well, let's
clobbered him in some
way. I mean, look, there's two ways anyone can think about anything that's not physically in front of them. For instance, you and I don't think about what's going on in the world's oceans vis-a-vis plastic and oil spills.
Mm-hmm.
It exists.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it. I wish the oceans were pure and clean. But we don't really, you know, go, oh, man. You know,
we're not preoccupied with it.
Right. And then there are people that really are preoccupied with it. You know what I mean? And it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Okay.
It doesn't mean it's not out there.
Right. Or not worthy of preoccupation.
Or not even worthy about concern.
Yeah.
I don't know if anything's worthy of preoccupation because in a way that's...
But in a weird way, that's how shit gets done. So, okay.
Well, no. If you want to start, you know, a rainbow warrior ship and go out and skim the ocean and everything, then good.
Yeah.
But I'm saying if you're just sort of wringing your hands.
Rainbow warrior.
Go ram a Japanese whaler. No, what I'm saying is my wife and your wife might tend to sit home and wring their hands about things they can't or don't fix, which you and I look at as a waste of time.
I hear you. Keep my wife out of the equation. She has a different way of
whatever emoting. It is. It's annoying.
She definitely spins about stuff, but it's things about her.
Okay. But there's – no, I'm not saying the ocean or external whatever.
Yeah.
I'm saying time spent on things
outside
minus
of your control.
Actions.
Yeah.
It could be an old Mustang in your garage that you talk about restoring every week and goes by.
Yes.
You know, it's not a good use of your time as well.
Right. So you and I prefer action to preoccupation, generally speaking.
That's true. I think most people would say that about themselves.
No, we really
but
we get actually off put.
But also
by declarations that don't connect to some action, right?
Yeah, and I think Howard is worried about COVID-19, and
but he's
internalizing it. He's feeling it. He's living it.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
I just got off my fucking ninth flight in the last 3 months.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally travel on Southwest.
But it has destroyed him in some way. Like it's destructive. It's not just that he's worried about it. It's like it just destroyed him. His whole world collapsed. My world collapsed. My life was taken away from me. I hated it. I'm pissed about it. But somehow his emotional world collapse because of it.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's hard for me to listen to. I feel it. Everything he says, I feel it's there. It's there. It's always in the background. And I want him back. I want to see him reconstitute and be himself again. And maybe it's that he can't go see a psychiatrist. You know what I mean? He's been on the analyst couch for decades.
Well, I'm guessing they zoom it.
It's wholly different.
Is it?
Yeah. The depth of stuff that he does, it's completely different. I thought maybe it's disconnecting from the analyst that makes him so unregulated. Is that interesting?
Yeah. Look,
you can see it on his face. I see it on everything. It's just oof.
Everyone is – this thing is – look, I live with two people, Sonny and Natalia. Sonny has no thoughts about this whatsoever. Natalia has many thoughts.
And feelings.
And feelings about it. They're living in the same house. They're living the same life. Mm. Her life is actually more outgoing. She is with more friends and does more activities and where, ironically, but yet he has no feelings about it. And then there's, I talk to people naively all the time, friends, where I go, hey, it's been too long. Let's get a steak. And they go, I wish I could.
Meantime, you and I go every week. Eat steak.
I can't tell you how many times I've been out to dinner, how many times I've flown, how many airports I've been to.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk about that.
Here's all I care about. I care that I transmit it to somebody else. That is all I care about. I don't care if I get it.
We'll talk. I don't care if I get it either. So, and by the way, that's how I started this whole thing, basically. I started this whole thing with the supposition that I would get it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I started.
And people miss that piece of the equation. They think you're insolent to it as opposed to accepting of it. You've accepted it's here and you're going to get it.
Well, certainly if I'm planning on doing all these dates and traveling and doing all the stuff they tell you not to do, every expert said don't do X, Y, and Z, and I did X, Y, and Z. So I would assume it would work the same with a venereal disease. I'd like to find out. So, Drew, your secret family. Yeah,
no.
You know what's weird about life, which I don't appreciate? Mm. I don't know why people have to graft on. You know, I tell people, I drive through left turn arrows. I go, oh, you're going to kill somebody. And I go, no, when it's clear.
Yeah.
Then I drive through them. And they go, you're just going to drive through reds, you know. As if I'm just put my hands on the roof of the car and ghost ride it, you know, through blind intersections or something. It's like, no, I'm not saying red arrows aren't good in some applications or stoplights or traffic rules or COVID isn't real. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying I choose weigh the risk and then live that way. And by the way, I don't live with elderly people. I don't have – everyone in my house is younger than me.
Yeah,
I have two kids and a female and two with Olga. They're all younger than me. None of them are in any kind of group that would be a risk factor.
It's interesting that Trump recovering so quickly did kind of drive home that 99% of people get well. So.
A little over 99, probably. All right, so secret family.
No. We're going to
we'll do it in the next show.
I got way too much to talk about.
Okay.
All right.
Top line.
Yep.
Mac, 47, Idaho.
Hi, guy. What's happening?
What's snapping, man?
Sorry. So my question is, how do we reduce the pussy population?
Pussy pop?
Pussy pop.
I don't think – I think they're like nutria. I think they're just going to keep growing.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Don't tell me that.
That's what it seems like.
That's too much. I can't take it. Is it possible that the current stressors are going to make people a little more resilient? That the fact that we're going through a pandemic, the fact that we have to rebuild an economy, the fact that we have to – everyone sort of being told get your shit together a little bit. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like we were just talking about Howard Stern, Adam Carolla. It's like Howard is imbibing this. I'm not. Mm. So – a lot of people, some people, and a lot of friends, a lot of people, I tell you, like I said, they want to get a steak. I wish I could. I don't think it'd be a good idea. Like certain people are going further one direction. And you could argue that me and Mike August are going further the other direction. I mean, I've traveled the country with that guy. I've not seen him wash his hands, use Purell, wipe anything down.
Well,
he barely has a mask.
That you two have literally become GIs on Omaha Beach now. that's literally the way you're approaching the outside world.
So I just think there's going to be a larger chasm, that's all.
Between the pussies and the non-pussies.
Yeah.
But are there going to be more pussies?
Yes. And then there'll be more non-pussies as well.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
It's going to drive.
I'll give you non-pussies for your pussies.
Yeah, it'll drive. I told you, more safe rooms, more tough mutters, more octagons.
Right.
You know, it's going to bring that out in people.
But Max asking, is there a way to reduce the number of non-octagon participants?
Well, as long as there's an ever-growing wave of politicians explaining that they're going to protect everyone and take care of everyone and do everything for everyone, I don't know how that population doesn't grow.
Here's what I think.
It's the people that vote for it.
That's how they vote for them.
That's why they pander to it. But I'm going to say I have an instinct.
It's kind of like the welfare state in some communities. It's like, has it helped?
Right.
I'm going to get you this. I'm going to pay you that. Okay. See how that works.
I listened to a video earlier with Nixon and Kennedy, their debate. And one of the things that Nixon said was that he was against government paying teachers because that basically enters government into schooling, and that just can't be good.
Right.
And so here we are. And so I feel like, well, maybe that's it. Maybe because of that, they're raising.
Or maybe public employees shouldn't be able to unionize. That's another way to do it.
If you want to just keep growing the government, there's no way we can't end up here. You know what
Correct.
I mean?
Yeah.
It's just we have to end up here. I mean, it's so funny. Like, I was watching Real Time with Bill Maher the other day, and, you know, he was saying to Adam Schiff, congressman, he's like, I had solar panels put in my house 3 years ago. I can't get them hooked up. I can't get a permit. We keep going through all the processing and everything. And I was like, yeah, I tried to put solar panels on my house a million years ago, and it was like too much. And he's looking at Adam Schiff's going, what are we doing?
He's
like, hey, we got to ratchet down that
Where
regulation.
Are you going to go?
Well, that's Gavin Newsom. But what I'm saying is like, yes, lawmaker, you have to make less laws so people can get solar panels hooked up. I mean, literally, he said we pulled every permit. We've done everything. We just can't do it. It's been 3 years.
So I have an instinct that the reality of the need for exposure to create grit and resilience will come back to the public consciousness.
That'd be nice.
Yeah, because it's so universally, categorically true and accepted in the clinical world that eventually enough people are going to go, hey, we're doing the opposite of what's good for people. And my hope and prayer is that it comes under the context or the heading of fighting for freedom of sorts rather than what we're dealing with. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if we're more free, we'll be more likely to be exposed to things, and that's good for us.
All right. I think, Gary, you got to talk to Mike. I think Lafayette got scrubbed because of the typhoon or something. I don't know.
I heard that was still theoretical, so he told us to keep him up.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe this Saturday, October 24th at Lafayette Cajun Dome. Podcast there with Drew and stand up there as well. November 20th and 21st, West Palm Beach Improv going to be up there. And Gerga's going to be up there. We'll do a live Reasonable Doubt. Just go to amcroll.com for all the live dates. Drew?
DrDrew.com for the family pods. Don't forget the YouTube page. And I'm going to start a Locals. Go to locals.com. It's a place where I can really sit down and talk to people individually or in small groups and build community. It is Locals. Check it out.
So, till next time, Adam Crawford, Dr. Drew Saint, mahalo.